Paladin, paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. Have gun, will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin. Paladin, paladin, where do you? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. He travels on to wherever he must. A chest knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the plainsmen spin. Of the man with the gun, of the man called Paladin. Paladin, paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, paladin, far, far from home. Far from home. Far from home.
Love those gunfighter songs. Yeah. YouTube's got them all up there. God, they go back all the old movies. You probably, a lot of you old timers probably remember Paladin. That was a popular gunfighter series back in the day. I think that was in the 60s or 70s. Hey, this is Terrible Tommy. I'm in the bunker, way down deep in the bunker here. On October the 18th, 2014, on Saturn's Day. That's right. Coming up on the All Father's Day, Son's Day. Yeah. And we're still at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your snail mail, and that's where you send your donations for the show and anything else you'd like to donate for. And then go up to resist.com, our big, tremendous university in the cloud, where you can get an education much better than you can get in most universities, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, it sort of rained last night again. It's a cool day. Cool. It's cooling down gradually. And some wind, so it's not a real nice day. But, you know, you don't appreciate the really nice days unless you have some that are not so nice, you know. Out there in California, where I lived for over 40 years, every day was almost like the day before and the day after, you know. And I sort of like it this way, you know, things changing a little bit. And they say in Indiana, if you don't like the weather, just hang around. It'll change the next day. Did I tell you about that rabbi I got in trouble back on the East Coast? I might have, but anyhow, this rabbi was the toast of the community. He was always giving speeches and everything about how great he was and all that, how pious he was. Well, he got arrested a while back, and he had, in the church or wherever he resided or did his thing, they drilled a hole through the wall so he could see the women changing their clothes and stuff, getting naked, and they arrested him and hauled him off. That, you know, there's a lot of perversion around, but there's a disproportionate perversion among the Orthodox Jews. You notice that? You probably didn't, because they don't advertise it very much. They don't get on in the news very much, more than it used to, but not too much. Now they're calling up reserves. I didn't even know they had any military reserves anymore. for this Ebola situation. Now, you know, you train guys to kill people. That's what the military does. In most cases, they're trained to kill. Now, you're going to get these guys going and ship them over to Africa to try to save people's lives, guys that are trained to kill? That seems like a weird situation to me. If I was an Ebola patient, I don't think I'd want an Army military man working on me unless he graduated from a medical school. Probably the main thing they're going to be doing is dragging dead bodies around. I wonder how many of them are going to come back with the Ebola stuff virus on them and say, "Hello, family, I'm back. I brought you a present."
Learned quite a bit. Unlike a Christian, unlike your typical Christian, I listen to different points of view. And I'm open to different what other people with different opinions have to say. That makes me very different from your average Christian, and from your average left winger and your average right winger. So I kind of pride myself a little bit on that. And you do as well. I know you listen to other opposing points of view. You don't dismiss them out of hand. So that just blows my mind. You know, I gave up Christianity 15 years ago, thereabouts. You know, saw it as a Jewish fairy tale, but it's information like this which fleshes out the details and confirms suspicions that I've harbored for a long time. Very interesting stuff. It's just Christians, you know, their minds are made up. They don't want to be confused with the facts. If you try to confront them, they'll say, "Oh, it's all about faith. You know, you have to have faith." But faith is really just intellectual laziness and the absence of reason or the absence of evidence. That's what faith is. So I don't want faith. I want facts. I want truth. I want evidence. That's what I want, and that's what you're helping to provide. Thanks very much.
I just sent you out an MP3 file of the ninth session of the memorial for John Tyndall. And I think you might find that interesting, from jolly old England. Well, without further ado, let's bring on Sling Blade. I have got a whole lot of shows here he's done for me. And unfortunately, most of them weren't marked with dates or anything. So what you hear is what you get. If there's anything that's dated on there, just forget it. But most of it's pretty current, good stuff.
Behold the Serengeti. That's the desert in Africa. Or the grasslands of Africa. Bunch of wildebeest. An antelope grazing, not organized, just doing their own thing. But behold the lions. They're organized. They're stalking. They're coordinated. The human race, the white race in particular, which is the segment of the human race I care about. I have no problem with a non-white race as long as they're in another part of the world and not mixed with us. But the white race is like a herd of animals on the Serengeti, while the lions, those that prey on us, are organized. And they appear to be smarter than us. And the lions are symbolic of international bankers, political whore, politicians, media spokesmen. You know, if you're walking down the street and you have a problem with a man coming towards you, You know he's your enemy and you're his enemy. But he has a pit bull with him. And he sicks that pit bull on you. And that pit bull is charging towards you. With an array of edged weapons in his mouth. You can't just go running up to the man and fight the man. You got to deal with that pit bull. There are people in very powerful places, in corporations, in banks, in our government, in the media, all over the media. In fact, the entire media. That has sicked the black and brown race on the white race. And they're tearing us apart. Definitely through brutality, but also through racial mixing. There are way too many dumbed down people in the white race. And I don't say that from a perspective of me thinking I'm better than them, because I was dumbed down and misled at one time too. But I woke up. But I always felt like something was wrong though. Speaking of cognitive development, Niccolo Machiavelli said that there are three classes of intellects. One which comprehends by itself. Another which appreciates what others comprehend. And a third which neither comprehends by itself nor by the showing of others. The first is most excellent, the second is good, and the third is useless. And that's exactly what we see today in our society. A lot of us can comprehend by ourselves. We can look at the world and we can determine what's going on. But too many of us allow others to do our thinking for us. Not specifically anyone on the radio club, I don't think. Too many white people are way too manipulated by the people that run society, people that promote trends, Madison Avenue, Hollywood. It's a war on consciousness, comrades. First you defeat the mind of your enemy. Or control the mind of your enemy. Influence the mind of your enemy. Then you can conquer him. I know all of you out there have heard of the term PSYOPs. Psychological operations. The military definition of PSYOPs is any form of communication in support of objective design to influence the opinions, emotions, attitudes, or behavior of any group in order to benefit the sponsor either directly or indirectly. Now, that could be delivered to the enemy. Let's say the United States is at war, God forbid it ever happened, but with Russia. They would use propaganda and manipulation, mental manipulation against the Russians, against their forces, but they would also use it against the home front, against us. There's a guy named Artie Lang who is a British psychoanalyst, and he coined a phrase called psychophobia, afraid, fear of the mind. Way too many white people are in a global, mentally induced slavery. Mentally induced by those in power. Remember, it's a war on consciousness. Esther Vilar, in her book The Manipulated Man, says, freedom is the last thing he wants, speaking of us, man. He functions according to the principle of pleasure in non-freedom. To be sentenced to lifelong freedom is a worse fate than lifelong slavery. To put it another way, a man is always searching for someone or something to enslave him. For only as a slave does he feel secure. Too many people out there looking for a guru, looking for someone to tell them what to do. I really hope that none of you in the radio club don't look at Metzger the same way. I don't think Metzger wants to be looked at that way. It's a war on consciousness. Make no mistake about it. Now, I didn't think of that myself. I heard other people say that in the alternative research community, and I think they're right. I got a quote off the internet, but I don't know who said this. Maybe someone out there does. But it goes like this. Says the world's power structures have always divided to conquer and have always kept divided to keep conquered. As a consequence, the power structure has so divided humanity, not only into special function categories, but into religious and language and color categories. Well, I like part of that. I believe in racial separation. I always have. Even when I was asleep, I would see interracial couple, and I just felt like something was wrong with that. Even when I was a supposed Christian. But going on with the quote, it says that individual humans are now helplessly inarticulate in the face of the present crisis. They consider their political representation to be completely corrupt, therefore they feel almost utterly helpless. And that, I believe, is by design. We are so overwhelmed. And remember, remember what the Protocols of Zion said. It said that they were going to create so many different opinions out there that we wouldn't know whether we're coming or going. I mean, I'm paraphrasing in my own language. But they succeeded in that. I'm going to tell you right now, I would not be surprised if somehow it was revealed that the people controlling everything in the world, media, government, banking, if we were to find out that they're not human, that there's some kind of other alien life form, or maybe they were here before us and they created us as a slave race and we rebelled and now they're trying to get us back under chains, who knows? But like I said before, George Orwell's 1984, a boot stomping on a human face forever, may not be the way that we wind up in the global village. You know, maybe they're going to enslave us with chains of gold instead of chains of iron. Chains of gold are still chains. You don't own yourself. Here's an Aryan we can be proud of, Carl Gustav Jung. I don't know if he was a protege or a partner or maybe a contemporary of Sigmund Freud at the time, but he says, we have lost our superstitious fear of evil spirits and things that go bump in the night, but instead are seized with terror of people who, possessed by demons, perpetrate the frightful deeds of darkness. That the doers of such deeds think of themselves not as possessed, but as supermen. Does not alter the fact of their possession. You know, I am not discounting the fact that we could be toxic ourselves. We of the Radio Club, of the White Separatist Movement, could be toxic ourselves. We could have some serious character flaws in our own psyche. And I think it would be better for our struggle and for us if we were to face ourselves with who we are. Just own up to it. You know, before, you know, a year ago or so, I was like, oh, we got to do something. We got to go out and kill motherfuckers. Well, now my attitude is this. You got to be real with yourself. If that's not you, who knows what it would take to make you that way? Maybe you'll never be that way. Maybe your entire family, God forbid it happened, it would be slaughtered by subhumans. And you still couldn't be that way. It's hard for us to undo how we've been raised. If you're white, most likely you've been raised in a loving home. Because we're advanced beings compared to the rest of the world. And I only say that because of look at our literature, look at our architecture, look at what we've done in the realm of math and science. All these Asians and Hindus, they're Johnny-come-latelys. They are dwarves sitting on the shoulders of Aryan giants, but they would never admit that. They would rather die than admit that. Carl Gustav Jung said in his book, Approaching the Unconscious, consciousness is a very recent acquisition of nature and is still in an experimental state. It is frail, menaced by specific dangers, and easily injured. As anthropologists have noted, one of the most common mental derangements that occur among primitive people is what they call the loss of the soul. And I tell you what, I believe most white people in the Western world have what they call the loss of the soul. And I'm not talking about Christian stuff when you hear soul. Just replace the word soul with the word self. Most people don't know themselves. We've lost touch with the primitive. You know, you read about these African and Native American or Asiatic Mongol tribes that had shamans. Our race had shamans at one time that were very essential to the health of the tribe, to the clan. Their job and their mission in life was to work out the dark psychic content of people's consciousness. They were experts at reading people. They were a tribe within a tribe. They were one with the earth. It's not my phrase, comrades, but it is a war on consciousness. Carl Gustav Jung said, again, in Approaching the Unconscious, I am not denying that great gains have resulted from the evolution of civilized society, but these gains have been made at the price of enormous losses, whose extent we have scarcely begun to estimate. Now, I agree with that statement, but I guarantee you me and him have two different things in mind. I'm not sure exactly. I understand his statement, but what he was thinking about when he wrote that, I don't know, but I tell you what, we have lost touch with the primitive. Too many white people are looking at their hands walking down the street. Why are they looking at their hands? Because they got a fucking iPod in their hands. Or they're texting. Just silly shit. You know, a Metzger thinks I'm making, you know, something out of nothing. But I see, one of the things I see, and I haven't ran this by Tommy, I don't know what he would think of this, but I see commercials on TV where they'll have a white couple. And not all of them, but a lot of them lately, the white couple will have a young daughter. And they're doing some skit in the commercial, you know, to advertise a product. And I see black couples, they always have sons. I'm telling you, comrades, they have done something with the genome project. I really believe somehow, maybe through our diet, through injections. And remember what Bertrand Russell said, through injections and diet, we can dumb down humanity to the point where the thought of us revolting against those in power will be unthinkable as lambs trying to eat mutton. Something to that effect. It's a war on consciousness. Too many of us are asleep. Too many of us get our opinion by the idiot box, by the TV. No one's really reading anymore. And if they're reading something, it's on a New York Times bestsellers list. Something that Michael Medved promoted on his show. May Michael Medved meet his end. Carl Jung said again, the man of today who resembles more or less the collective ideal has made his heart into a den of murderers, as can easily be proved by the analysis of his unconscious, even though he himself is not in the least bit disturbed by it. Yeah, money trumps all things. The majority of white people out there only care about the shit they see in the shopping mall. White people have murdered their wives. White men have murdered their wives and parents, their brothers and sisters, just to get the inheritance and shit like that. If that happens in other races, maybe it's not being promoted. Maybe it's not being talked about too much. Which is probably right, considering the media is utterly corrupt. I remember Michael Savage saying all the time that the Fourth Estate has become a fifth column. The Fourth Estate is a phrase for the press. And a fifth column, you guys know what that means. I believe it was a phrase coined by Franco during the Spanish Civil War in the 30s. The fifth column was a communist intelligentsia that infiltrated the society. And that's already happened in our country. Make no mistake about it. And don't get wrapped around the isms of socialism and communism and national socialism and capitalism. It's all about control. It's all about us going back to a global slave pen. What do you mean back? Well, I believe we were that way before, a long time ago. Thomas Zsazs, that's S-Z-A-S-Z, it's got to be Polish when you see S and Z together like that. People often say that this or that person has not found himself, but the self is not something one finds. It is something one creates. Michelangelo created himself. Van Gogh created himself. All the great writers of the white race created themselves. You got to go out there and create yourself and not try to be Tom Metzger, or not try to be David Lane or Robert J. Matthews. And be inspired by them. But you have to create yourself. That's why I am emphatically sure that we need to jettison any type of Nazi, Hitler, Wehrmacht bullshit. We are trapped in a box when we do that. It's time to let Hitler go by the wayside and relegate him to some other historical figure. He'd done nothing for our race. Stop giving this fucking dude hero status. He does not deserve it. And that may rub a lot of you raw or the wrong way. I don't give a fuck. It is what it is. So, I said my piece about that. It's just the way it goes. Found another quote on the internet. I don't remember who it's from. It's some guy from the 1800s or early 1900s. It says, we don't receive wisdom. We must discover it for ourselves after a journey that no one can take for us or spare us. You got to have your own walk in this life, man. Stop trying to be Hitler. Stop trying to be Robert J. Matthews. One of those guys I respect tremendously. The other guy, I have to say in hindsight that he done more harm for our race than good. Let him go. Say bye-bye. I would even go so far as to get rid of all your Nazi shit. You have to find yourself in this struggle. I'm not a collectivist anymore. I mean, I wanted to join this. I joined the National Alliance. I thought I was joining an underground resistance group and resist.com. But when it's all said and done at the end of the day, I'm my own man. And that's the way it should be. And that's why the Ghost Whoop ideology is perfect for us. You know? Go out there and do your thing. Make your own stamp in this world. Don't let others do your thinking for you. Ian Williams Goddard, I guess who is an artist and an activist, said, a society whose citizens refuse to see and investigate the facts, who refuse to believe that their government and their media will routinely lie to them and fabricate a reality contrary to verifiable facts, is a society that chooses and deserves the police state it's going to get. Amen. All of us have to, you know, own up to the fact that we're partly responsible for this shit. All of us, even the Radio Club. The things that have been done in the name of America or in the name of the Western world, the people that rule us, the utter perverts, the promotion of homosexuality and race mixing that's on TV, and nobody has fired a shot in anger. I'm not saying I'm not trying to promote that. I'm saying if it happened, I'd be pretty fucking happy. We've all sat by. Yeah, a lot of us have done a lot of talking. I've done talking. I'm responsible too. I claim responsibility, not solely, but I'm responsible too for the shape that the world is in, the white race is in. We've allowed ourselves to be chemically castrated because all of us are addicted to something. Some of us are addicted to nicotine, sugar, coke or heroin, God forbid. But I'm sure there's some activists out there that are into that shit. Some of you in the Radio Club just love to smoke bud, love to smoke that weed. You love it. Not realizing that it's just pacifying the fuck out of you. Remember that quote I shared a number of times on the radio show, even when I co-hosted with Metzger, Henry de Juvenal, J-O-U-V-E-N-A-L, some French guy, a French newspaper editor, summed it up best. A society of sheep must in time beget a government of wolves. If you find a rotting body, a corpse, expect maggots. You're not going to find carrion crow at a fucking Japanese tea garden. I've heard Mike Dasarian say a lot. A guy who I've gleaned a lot of information from. But wait a minute, his mother's Hindu and his father's Irish. Yeah, I know, but God damn, the dude, you know, exposed a lot of shit. Another guy whose books you won't find in a bookstore. Too many of us are bamboozled by the people's champions. too many of us. I heard someone say that every man shares the responsibility and the guilt of the society to which he belongs. Can we argue with that? I don't think so. Things are becoming worse and worse for the white race because we don't do anything in response to all the shit they do to us. You know? I really wish that we could be more proactive in what we do. But at the same time, I don't want to see good guys go down for nothing. For things that won't really make a difference. Remember what that faggot piece of shit Edward Bernays said? It's now possible to control and regimate the masses according to our will without them knowing it. He said that in his book Propaganda. Here's a guy who had numerous clients, you know, in different fields. You know, a dress manufacturer was one of his clients. You know, he's the guy that started public relations. So when Hollywood started making movies, he had the Hollywood people dress up the women in his clients' dresses. You know, Calvin Coolidge didn't have a real good reputation, or, you know, the American people really didn't care about him too much, and someone hired Bernays to sharpen up his image. So what does he do? Bernays actually had a good deal of Hollywood actors come to the White House for a big shindig. You know, big party. And the press was invited too. That made Calvin Coolidge look hip. A cigarette manufacturer, I forgot the guy's name, George Hill, I think. The guy that was in charge of the American tobacco industries or whatever. Said, damn, Eddie Bernays, I don't know what's, you know, we'd like to make more money selling cigarettes. Well, he said, what the problem is, only half the population is smoking. Only men smoke. It was such a strong taboo for women to smoke back in the 20s. Well, this whole thing of women's rights and women's suffrage was going on in the 20s. And Ed Bernays found out that there was going to be some big demonstration in New York City on Madison Avenue. And he got, Edward Bernays got with the press, said, the women are going to stop at a certain point in the demonstration and light their torches of liberty. And all the press showed up, torches of liberty, well, it could be violence, could be, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, right? At a certain point in the demonstration, Edward Bernays arranged for all the women to stop and light up cigarettes there on Madison Avenue, to the shock and dismay of everyone. See, it's hard for us to see the shock and dismay in our 21st century eyes because we see the most dastardly shit put out by Hollywood. So we're very desensitized to it. But back then, that was just major. And women's lib became synonymous with smoking. So, if you have a mom who's got cancer, you know, you can thank Eddie Bernays for that. A piece of dog shit that he is. Nephew of Sigmund Freud, by the way. Edward Bernays, the father of public relations. Dr. D.W. Winnicott said, if society is in danger, it is not because of man's aggressiveness, but because of the repression of personal aggressiveness in individuals. No, Dr. Winnicott, not the repression of aggressiveness in individuals, but the repression of aggressiveness in the white man. Blacks and Hispanics are very aggressive. Too many of us are afraid of them, not realizing that they bleed too. Louis H. Laplin, in his book Money and Class in America, said no matter how effusive our rhetoric to the contrary, most Americans cannot bring themselves to trust the unaffiliated individual. We prefer to repose our confidence in institutions, a brand name, a corporation, a bank. It is the figure of Babbitt or Cyrus Vance, not Clint Eastwood, who represents the triumph of the American dream. Well said. Because the overwhelming majority of Americans cannot think for themselves. They need to be part of a herd. And I may even surmise that a good deal of the white separatist movement is like that, which is the reason why they join clubs, why they join groups, supposedly looking out for our race. Worst thing you can do. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it for years, about infiltration of the FBI and all that other stuff, but for your own personal mental hygiene, you gotta be an individual. You gotta find your selfhood. America's so weak now that we prefer to put confidence in people, in institutions, in groups, in brand names. Don't joke about the brand name. I've seen, you know, focus groups that were on camera that didn't know that they were on camera. One that stands out is, what car is that? Saab. The Saab or one of these car companies that invites people who bought this type of car to their plant in Tennessee, and this plant puts on a big picnic for them. And a lot of these people for the summer vacation go there instead of Disneyland. I thought, what the fuck is the name of that car? It's not Saab. It's, I don't remember. But that's someone who puts their brand name that they wear. That's who they are. Madison Avenue and Nike and Adidas. People identify themselves with a brand name. Are we any different if we identify ourselves with the swastika? You know, with various T-shirts promoting, you know, the National Alliance or whatever. Laplin says again in that book, Money and Class in America, the man who goes along to get along, who knows the right people and belongs to the right clubs, whose every opinion seconds the nomination of the chairman, who submits easily and with a winning smile to what Alex de Tocqueville called the tyranny of the masses. That's a person who cannot stand up on his own two feet. He's got to keep up with the Joneses. His neighbor's got an Audi, so he's got to buy an Audi. The president of Public Relations Organizations of America, I didn't catch his name, damn, I wish I did. He said, the stuff which we work with is the fabric of men's minds. Yeah, that's right. It's a war on consciousness. You think, oh, I'm awake. I'm looking out for the survival of the white race. But you have to be part of a group. You can't be an insanely active insurgent for our race all by yourself. Then you don't own yourself, comrades. You don't. You can tell yourself all you want to. I know I've said before that, well, we've read enough books. We need to just go out there and do. You know what? Don't ever stop learning, comrades. I retract what I said, you know, a couple years ago. I think we should always keep reading. Here's an author right here, Nesta Webster. She lived back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. A brilliant woman. A British woman. She wrote a number of books about secret societies and the Masons and the Illuminati and all that shit. But if you can get a hold of a book of hers called Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, you would do well to have that book in your library. Here's a quote from it. The final goal of world revolution is not socialism or communism. Once again, don't get wrapped up in the isms. The isms are like what a magician does with his right hand, and we're all focused on the right hand, not looking at what the left hand's doing. The final goal of world revolution is not socialism or even communism. It is not a change in the existing economic order. It is not the destruction of civilization in a material sense. The revolution desired by the leaders is a moral and spiritual revolution, an anarchy of ideas by which all standards set up throughout 19 centuries shall be reversed. Now, we're already seeing some of that now. Our women knew better 500 years ago or so to make black babies come from their womb. But they're doing it. They're doing it. And they don't give a fuck what you say about a white man. In fact, they love the fact that you are pissed off by it. I have seen certain white bitches who think that it's great. They saw me looking at her with her fucking nigger, and I wasn't smiling at her. And she thought it was great. A good deal of our women are so fucked up. They become some of the most worst enemies of our race, to the point where they can't be re-educated. But at the same time, I look at the white girls that were abducted in Cleveland and held in bondage for 10 years. Charles T. Tart, a psychologist at the University of California, core faculty member of the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, coined a phrase called consensus trance. And that's exactly what the white race is in this country. They don't want to go against the grain. Whatever the masses out there are believing, that's what they believe. And part of this consensus trance is manifested like this. If it's not in the media, it did not happen. Try to tell people about, you know, Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom. Hey, it wasn't on CNN. They won't believe it, especially if they know you personally and they know your views. You're just making up stuff or you're embellishing. So to them, if it's not in the media, it didn't happen. But if it did not happen, but it's in the media, they believe it happened. How doomed are we? I mean, I don't want to get all, you know, I don't want to cause you guys to be depressed or anything. I'm just saying. Leonard W. Doob from the Yale University had this to say about propaganda. Propaganda is a systemic attempt by an interested individual or individuals to control the attitudes of groups of individuals through the use of suggestion and consequently to control their actions. I often wonder if they're using subliminals in movies to make white people even more afraid of blacks. Could that be the phrase that, what's his name said? Artie Lang said psychophobia, fear of the mind. Remember, fear is the mind killer. Who was that guy? Arthur Vandenberg, who was one of President Truman's advisors, said flat out to President Truman, Mr. President, you have to scare the hell out of the American people if you want to get something done. Now, I went around in the 50s, but I heard about all these bomb shelters being built and everything. And the Russian war machine, no knock on my Russian comrades, but from what I understand, it was just dilapidated equipment that had a fresh paint job. Now we got a new Cold War coming on with China, maybe. Or maybe a war. Either way, it's being arranged right now. Nothing happens that will surprise the people of Bilderberg. I'm going to try and find it. But there's a letter that Albert Pike wrote to Giuseppe Manzini. Manzini passed the torch to Albert Pike of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. And he said, basically, that we're going to antagonize a war between the Zionist and the Islamic world. This is in the 1870s. A book that you guys should definitely have in your library is by a guy named J.A.C. That's his first three initials. That's, you know, J as in James, A as in Albert, C as in Charles, Brown. J.A.C. Brown. Techniques of Persuasion. He said of propaganda, from Latin propagare, which means the gardener's practice of pinning the fresh shoots of a plant into the earth in order to reproduce new plants, which will later take on a life of their own. The white zombies out there, I'm not talking about Rob Zombie either, I'm talking about the white zombies out there who have no mind of their own, doing all kinds of drugs, dropping out. Hey, man, I'm not going to fight the system. I'm just going to get high. Not giving a damn what's happening to our people. You know. Just falling for all these talismanic words and terms. War on terror. Shouldn't be war on terrorism? I know I talked about that before, but war on terror. How does your right brain hear that? War on terror. Meaning war on earth. New world order. That's a word, a phrase that's not being hidden. I mean, they're not hiding that anymore. Patriotism, hope, freedom, revenge, change, liberal, axis of evil. How about this word? Democracy. A lot of people don't know, but democracy is, when you use the word democracy, you're talking about socialism. Karl Marx said, we must win the battle of democracy. He said that in the Communist Manifesto or Das Kapital, I forgot which one. We are controlled. Our minds are molded. Our tastes form by a very small number of men. And that needs to make you mad. Look at the presidency, or look at the campaign of Barack Obama. You know? Look at, I mean, talk about a product of Madison Avenue. Paul Levy is probably a Jew. I don't give a fuck if he's telling the truth about shit. Wrote a book called Breaking Bush's Spell. George Bush is a master hypnotist who skillfully puts people under his spell. Bush mesmerizes people by using simple, repetitive phrases. To quote Nazi propaganda chief Joseph Goebbels, or Goebbels, propaganda must therefore always be essentially simple, repetitious. Keep repeating them in this simplified form despite the objections of the intellectuals. It is a proven fact that Joseph Goebbels, whatever, had a number of books and pamphlets written by Eddie Bernays in his personal library. That's a fact. Now, I went to a Bush rally in 2000. He came to College of DuPage campus, and I only went there to observe. But I'll tell you what. Well, talk about an eye-opener. I mean, sheeple to the freaking core. Paul Levy goes on to say Bush's talking points, his buzzwords, are his incantations. These magic words act as opiates to the fearful masses. I've seen it. To quote ex-Harvard University President James Bryant Conant, some of mankind's most terrible misdeeds have been committed under the spell of certain magic words or phrases. This, again, the power of the word. And how do we make a word? We spell it. Talk about people being put under a spell. We're going to move forward. I see your phrase a lot. We're moving forward. We got to move forward on this. All these power phrases, talismanic words, and they control us. When we hear these words, because our racial memory, these were good words. You know? Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer, ein News Channel. Fox News. Yep. And I'm not saying that the other news channels aren't the enemy. But I point out that one because a lot of people think, oh, it's fear, it's fair and balanced. Nothing fair and balanced about it. Because you got to remember, everyone votes for a dictator. Very rarely does a dictator just seize power. An anarchy of the mind, people. You can still be for your race. Because when you're looking out for your race, you're looking out for yourself. Your race is something like your extended mind and body. And you want your race to live on. Because you'll live on. If your offspring mate with black, brown, or yellow, then all of that trial and hardship and sacrifice that your ancestors went through, as far as I'm concerned, is null and void. Because you're mixing your genetic and biological heritage with something foreign. And we have to be hardcore about it. Hardcore to the point of violence. Absolutely. We're being raped, robbed, and murdered every day from coast to coast like butter and toast. And nobody says a thing or does a thing. I saw pictures of the city of Bath, England. Just looking at some stuff on the internet. But there's an advertisement that said this. I am who I am because of everyone. I am who I am because of everyone? I mean, grammatically, it doesn't make sense because I think it cancels out the I, right? But that's the big move, people. People in charge of this want to collectivize everything. The individual is like anathema now. If you don't wear brand names, you're kind of a freak. You're not with it. I see young white men, a lot of them wearing the same brands, dressing the same way, kind of. Now, I'm not saying the exact color shirt and the exact color pants, but kind of the same way, the same style. Doing goofy shit with their fucking hair. Wake up. For Christ's sake, white man, wake up. We need some shamans to come on board. We need some new druids. We need to reinvent ourselves. We do.
Oh, man, come on, just leave me alone. You know, I study about racial things.
I don't have too much time left in the show. But think about this, by D.H. Lawrence. Are you willing to be sponged out, erased, canceled, made nothing? Are you willing to be made nothing, dipped into oblivion? If not, you will really never change. Some of us, the only way to break free of the old self is to go out there and do something just way out there. And you know what I mean by that. Are you saying go out and kill someone? That's exactly what I'm saying. And I'm not telling you to do it. If you don't do it, I'm still going to have the same... You know, if you go out there and do it, I'm like, all right, he did it. If you don't go out there and do it, I'm like, well, he didn't do it. It doesn't make a difference to me at all. I'm my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. You do your own thing. As far as I'm concerned, the guy that leaflet bombs the shit out of, you know, a city, spray paint shit, and then a guy who goes out and sets bombs, I know the government will react more intensely to one than the other, but as far as I'm concerned, you're doing something. You got to do what's natural for you. You have to be your own person. If you're not made that way, then if you go out and hurt someone, fuck someone up, it could have a bad effect on you. You gotta know yourself, people. Me, I've cursed who I am for a long time, but I've just settled down to the fact that I'm a propagandist. That's what I am. Yeah, it's not like, you know, I'm condemning Eddie Bernays and all this other shit, you know, and his propaganda. Of course, because it's harmful. Would I use the same techniques to get people to think my way? Absolutely. I'm a propagandist. I want white people to start thinking like me. Wait a minute, aren't you promoting a collective? I just want them to look out for their race. What they do from there, they're on their own. Be your own man, but damn, don't sell out the race. That's all I'm saying. Jules Henry, I believe he's an American anthropologist, said the deep thinking in our culture is to grow angry and to anger others. If you cannot tolerate this anger, you are wasting the time you spend thinking deeply. One of the rewards of deep thought is the hot glow of anger at discovering a wrong. But if anger is taboo, thought will starve to death. And the likes of scum like Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, he said nothing is more poisonous, harmful, or devilish than a man in rebellion. Yeah, devilish and harmful to them who want to fleece you. I'm going to finish off with a quote here from Ayn Rand. Hey, she's Jewish. So what? She believes in the individual. Men have been taught that it is a virtue to agree with others, but the Creator is the man who disagrees. Men have been taught that it is a virtue to swim with the current, but the Creator is the man who goes against the current. Men have been taught that it is a virtue to stand together, but the Creator is the man who stands alone. That is definitely something to think about. It is time for a great many of us to swim against the current. In your own unique way, be your own man. Be an awakened, spiritually. And when I say spirit, I'm not talking about Christian. You could be a spiritual man and be an atheist at the same time. own yourself. Like Patrick McGowan from the Prisoner series back in the 60s, I think. Yeah, I think it was the 60s. A British drama. We are headed for a global village. And if that thought is not scary enough, think about who's going to inhabit the global village with you. So what if you left chains of gold in a freshly clean, padded cell? You're still not free. Don't fear your freedom. And if your mind wants to embrace dark, venomous thoughts, you have to embrace your whole self, your good self and your toxic self, your dark side. That's yin and yang. That's balance. You can't curse one side of your psyche or your character and say the other one's good. A house divided against itself won't stand. Accept your good. Accept the bad and the good that's in you. Now, when I say bad, I'm talking about violent tendencies and violent thoughts directed against those that are destroying our race. That's what I mean. If you're a child molester, you need to do something about that. You need to just I don't know, commit suicide. Fuck, I don't know. If you're someone that likes to fuck around with kids, you're a scumbag. But you know what I'm saying. Some of you out there are thinking very terrible and violent thoughts of that would fall under the realm of terrorism in this country. Embrace your whole self and feel no guilt because they have declared war on you. You didn't declare war on them. They declared war on you thousands of years ago. And now they got us on a now we're on the brink. We really are. So is Ghost Wolf Radio signing off.
How you like that, boy? Sling Blade, put it out there. That was good. Okay. We'll have him on again next Saturday. And maybe we do some more live shows one of these days. I've got so many shows that he's done here that need to be played. He may be just recuperating now. Okay, that's it. 14-5 and shut up, boys and girls. He who travels alone travels the fastest. Isn't that what they say? Kills me when I listen to all these crime shows or see all these crime shows. Guy's always got to have a buddy. Always got to have somebody with him. And usually that's the guy who rats on him and screws up the whole thing. So remember that. 14-5, and I'll see you Moonsday.